From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. Earlier this week, we learned that authorities conducting a murder investigation in Bentonville, Arkansas, were trying to get a hold of data from an Amazon Echo device that was in the house of the suspect. Amazon is resisting handing the data over. This got us thinking about data in criminal cases that involve private homes. So we called up Adam Scott Wandt, assistant professor of public policy at John Jay College, to help us dig in a little bit further. Adam, you say this is part of a larger pattern of data collection at the crime scene from computers, cell phones, and more?
Data in law enforcement have really melded in investigative processes, and it's become a central part of the investigative process. It's no longer a tangent. It's part of the core of the investigation. One of the things that's very interesting about the Alexa app is that it records background noise as well. So if you have somebody giving Alexa an order, it's recording that, but it's also recording everything that goes on in the background. So it could really give a new perspective that, you know, you might not have had before.
Do you think that, generally speaking, more data like this is going to have a positive impact on putting the right people behind bars?
Having this level of data in the courtroom could absolutely provide evidence to put bad guys behind bars and convict the right people. But it's at the cost of consumers' privacy, for sure, because there's no way people would expect the government to be, you know, in their house with them 24/7, so to speak. The Orwellian nature of what the outcome could be is scary, but we have to balance that against, you know, whether or not we want to use these when people get murdered and killed. Should a murderer go free when evidence is sitting on a server? I don't have the answer to that. That's something society would have to figure out. But that's ultimately what we're going to have to do as a society, figure out what we want to do with this data.
Adam Scott Wandt is assistant professor of public policy at John Jay College. Adam, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And it's been rumored for weeks. Now it's real. The Obama administration announced yesterday sanctions against Russia for hacking attacks that interfered with the presidential election. 35 diplomats are set to be ejected. Travel and financial restrictions have been set on four top Russian intelligence officials. This is paired with extensive reports from the U.S. intelligence community about how the election hacking itself occurred. Thomas Ridd is professor of security studies at the Department of War Studies, King's College in London. Thomas, one thing that seems unique here is the amount of specifics on the hacking techniques used.
The U.S. administration has made public an unprecedented amount of detail about this ongoing operation, not just names, but also what technical people call indicators. So that allows companies and other organizations to defend against similar attacks. So we're looking at more than 800 IP addresses, other technical indicators that are really useful for technical people. So that's a big deal.
What happens next?
What happens next is actually really, really crucial. So President-elect Donald Trump, the ball in some way is now in his court. If his team, his transition team, continue to deny that this Russian interference took place, they will directly deepen the rift between the intelligence community, between the CIA and NSA, and this is very much a win for Moscow, and they will try to do this again in the future, in 2 years or, you know, really later this year in Germany or France, possibly.
Thomas Ridd, security studies professor from King's College and author of the book The Rise of the Machines. We may not yet know what the year 2017 will bring in terms of technology, but your listener support of Marketplace guarantees we'll all be better informed and better prepared, flying cars or not. Make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st. It's Silicon Valley time. My guest this week, Marketplace reporter Marielle Segarra. Marielle, you ready to play the game where we try to stump each other with numbers from the week's tech news?
I am so ready to beat you in this game.
All right, I'm ready to be beat. 236 green lights.
Green lights?
Yeah. I'm going to give you a hint. Manhattan.
Lights on the Rockefeller Christmas tree?
Excellent guess. However, I'm looking for the number of consecutive green lights New York City Uber driver Noah Foreman hit while driving from Harlem to Soho in the middle of the night. This happened at 3 a.m.
I guess in the middle of the night, they just have them all go green in succession.
It seems very thrilling to keep hitting green lights over and over, even at 3 a.m. I would be pretty psyched. All right, what do you got for me?
30 minutes.
All right, I got nothing.
That is the longest it's supposed to take a hatchimal to hatch.
What?
Do you know what a hatchimal is?
Oh, God.
There are these little birds inside eggs, and the kid is supposed to, like, play with it and nurture it for half an hour, and then the bird starts spinning around and pecking at the shell and pops out.
Whoa.
Except that the
they're not hatching?
They're not hatching, or they're taking hours to hatch, and you've got crying children who are just melting down. So then the parents melt down on Twitter at the parent company, Spin Master, which says it's, you know, working on the problem.
All right, $1 million.
I have no idea.
This is the amount of money a scam artist made by buying designer purses online and then returning knockoff replicas to U.S. department stores and then selling the originals. She's dubbed the handbag hustler by some.
You know, it's people like this that ruin it for the rest of us who just forgot our receipt.
So true.
I mean?
Yeah.
She's not smart, though. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, you got to give it to her for being inventive. All right, what do you got for me?
$70.
I don't know the amount it costs for a new iPhone 7 charger.
It is the cost to rent designer Carmen Mark Valvo's golden leaf gown on Rent the Runway.
And yet you're not wearing it right now, which I'm disappointed.
Well, the thing is that I want to have somewhere to wear it on New Year's. The truth is I'm going to a house party, so it's just not going to happen for me. But this is relevant because Rent the Runway,
yes,
they just got a $60 million round of investment from Bain Capital Ventures, Fidelity, and they were profitable this year, apparently.
No thanks to you.
No, no thanks to me. But I aspire to someday have somewhere to wear a dress like that.
Marketplace reporter Marielle Segarra, thank you very much for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.